Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm Faye Davis, and today I have the pleasure of sharing my interview with Tony Ramirez. Tony is the Vice President of Regional Economic Development at the Borderplex, and he is recognized as one of North America's top 50 economic developers for his marketing vision and his success in building strong partnerships and attracting businesses to his region. Tony talks about how his experience in the logistics industry has created a knack for pinpointing a company's pain points. And he also lifts the curtain on some insider knowledge on how his organization serves not only three states, but also two separate countries in their territory. And the partnerships that he has cultivated make all the difference in the success his region is seeing. Tony really is full of great insights, so let's listen on to glean more from him directly. All right, everyone, welcome back. I am super excited to be here today with Tony Ramirez, who is another one of our North America's top 50 economic developers for this year. Tony, I'm so glad you're here with us.
Thanks, Faye, and thanks to the team at Consult Connect. It's great to be with you today.
Awesome. Well, let's dive right in. Our standard opening question, just because everybody has a super interesting story, I feel like, is when you went to college, what was your plan? What was your plan? Was economic development in the plan, or how did you end up here? What does your journey look like?
Yeah, thanks, Faye. That's a great question. So no, economic development was not initially on the plan. So the way I stumbled onto economic development is I took an internship with one of my college professors who was leading a research arm on behalf of the state of New Mexico. So I studied at New Mexico State University. And after class, he asked a few of us if we would be open and willing to become researchers to look at some of the metrics that are going on in the state, some of the industry drivers. And I was more than happy to sign up for that. It sounded very fun. I had never heard of the term economic development in my life up to that point. So I finished the research internship there with him. And his name is Dr. Kevin Boberg. And he just recently passed away. And he was a mentor of mine for many, many years. God rest his soul. But he was a great mentor for me up to the very end. And, you know, upon graduation, I took a position because and this might date me and some of our other colleagues, but I graduated right around the time that 9/11 happened. So the markets were in shambles. There was a lot of uncertainty in what was going on. So I took a upper level management position at Walgreens in Austin, Texas, did that for a couple of years, and then decided to move on to pursue master's in business at UT Arlington, which is up in the North Texas region. Then from there was in supply chain management. I worked in logistics, helping to solve some super complex problems for manufacturing companies when it comes to their supply chain, remapping their supply chain, solving logistics issues for over the road transportation. And then the bug hit again for me to just kind of explore what was next in my life. And that's where economic development came back. A lot of really cool synergies that we were able to find, just me internally, I was able to find from my previous position in working in supply chain management and what we're doing today in economic development.
I love that. And I want to dig a little bit deeper on that history, on that background that you have in logistics, because, you know, being immersed in the logistics business, how do you think that shaped your foundation for economic development? Are there like core lessons that you learned being in that business that you still think back on today when you work with future prospects, RFPs, and things like that?
Yeah, the great question, Faye. I think it's set me up and set our organization up and our region up. So you have to look at it from a problem solving perspective. If you approach every project as a client, you have to look at some of the pain points. And in the field of logistics and in the field of supply chain management, it's very what we would call enterprise level. There are so many people and so many departments that are affected by a decision. And if you break that down into what's going on in logistics, the same thing holds true. And the same thing holds true during a site location or a site selection process. There's a lot of moving parts to it. And it typically has a very long sales cycle to it because you're working through numerous challenges. So that really did help me set up. The other factor that helps me is I was in and out of manufacturing plants. I was in and out of meetings with high-level operations executives. So I got to learn a little bit about their pain points and speak their language and get to know and hear more about what's keeping them up at night. And it's more than the supply chain. I mean, there's a lot more to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, there's always, with any project, there's a variety of reasons why they're looking for a new plant or an expansion. And while logistics certainly come into play heavily, I appreciate you pointing out that there's often many, many factors at play. I want to talk a little bit about your organization because you are in a very unique region. So you're at the Borderplex Alliance. You don't only straddle two separate states, but you also represent a portion of Mexico. So how do you navigate partnerships between all of these entities? And what do you think is like the most engaging part of those collaborations? And maybe what are your biggest challenges working between all three of those?
It's quite the complex region. And I think our region was one of the first to really embrace, not only embrace regionalism, but make it work between two countries. So we do our organization, the Borderplex Alliance, represents the United States and Mexico on this front. And even more so, we represent three states within that. So it's the state of New Mexico. We have a piece of that, which is in Las Cruces, Doniana, New Mexico. Then, of course, El Paso and El Paso County, which is in Texas, and then Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, which is in the state of Chihuahua. So a lot of moving parts going on, a lot of things that are happening within those jurisdictions, everything from infrastructure to education to back to logistics and supply chain. They all move very, very differently, but they're evolving very, very differently. So your question on how do we make it work? We have some tremendous partners on the ground, and there's no way that our organization can do what we do by ourselves. We stay transparent with our partners, with our economic development partners. We stay as visible as we can when it comes to recruitment and attraction events. We always make sure to invite those that are representing the actual city of or region of Las Cruces or Ciudad Juarez or even in El Paso. You know, we all work together. And I think there's a piece where you have to stay vulnerable. You have to let people know where you're struggling with. You have to let people know what you're winning in and make sure that you're bringing those wins with your group. And then you have to also let people know the parts where you're falling short on. Explain that. Share those shortfalls with people so that you can all learn together.
That's really awesome insight. That communication piece is, I mean, everybody knows it's important, but it's so nice to be reminded from what you just said that is the key to any kind of partnership. So diving a little bit deeper on the El Paso region, in the El Paso region, you have 9 higher education institutions in your community. So are there've got to be unique ways that you all are working together with your institutions to really continue evolving the workforce and the talent pipelines over there?
Yeah, we have several programs going on, and I think it goes beyond our higher ed. Our team has done wonders making sure to engage not only the higher ed, but the PK through 12 programs. Because we're getting a sense that people want to stay in El Paso. They want to stay in Las Cruces. They want to stay in Ciudad Juarez. There's a lot happening in terms of quality of life. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a pretty low-cost living in terms of the rest of the country. Uh-huh. So, you know, we're one of the things that we're connecting with when it comes to our higher ed is we're making sure that the private sector has a seat at the table when curriculum is created. We do that not only at just the 4-year, but at our community college. connecting our professors and making sure that there is some kind of a connection and relationship going on with the new industry that's happening. There's so much technology involved in manufacturing. There's so much technology growth when you're looking at AI and the Internet of Things for cybersecurity as well. So it's important that the private sectors are key into having those relationships, because it doesn't matter what they're teaching as long as it's relative to what's going on in the private sector.
Yes. Tony, when you're talking about those partnerships, What has been like the biggest win that you've seen with regards to the businesses being involved in the curriculum creation? And, you know, do you have an example of how those things really came into play?
Yeah. So a great example is customized training. So we're able to work directly with our local community college and customize specific training. And we have multiple examples of that. And that's across all industries. And a lot of folks think customized training can just be in manufacturing, but we've had customized training happen for some of our medical device players that are in town or in the region. So, I mean, there are a few of them, but I think that it's important to know that there's so much flexibility now built into our ecosystem of how we help companies. And it's beyond incentives, and it's beyond making sure that, you know, they can find a good building. I think at the end of the day, we really want them to be successful long-term. So if you can have a great customized training program, that's going to be helpful for them, not only just when they land, but into the years they come as you roll out your BR&E programs. I think that's where we've seen a lot of success.
I love that. Love it. So when we're thinking about the pandemic, the investment in your region has not slowed down one bit. And we've talked to, on the podcast, we've talked to several economic developers in the state of Texas lately. And we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out the secret in Texas, because you all have not slowed down. Investment is booming. And why do you think that is? What keeps companies coming back to Texas again and again? And maybe what can other states learn from that?
Yeah, I think one of the main drivers for that is business continuity and the business environment that's built in the El Paso Borderplex region, which also has Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Ciudad Juarez. I think a lot of that has to do with great regulations. Our local leaders, elected officials are very pro-business. And that goes for across the state of Texas as well. I think we've seen demand surge, and demand hasn't stopped. Consumers are still purchasing. So the fact that our region is very diversified has been very helpful for us. And the driver for a lot of the manufacturing growth in Ciudad Juarez has just been going. It's nonstop. Record sales of televisions, you know, that's been going through the roof during the pandemic. Automobile purchases have been going through the roof. So we have a lot of tier one, tier two manufacturing suppliers in automotive. You know, as you know, you're in Michigan, so you would know that there's a lot going on in automotive. Electronic vehicle demand is also very high as well. So I think having a diverse economy really does help. And to play into that as well, we have Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. So there's a large military presence that also helps drive economic growth.
I love it. I want to dive in a little bit deeper on something you just said. You mentioned your elected officials. So how do you work hand in hand with those elected officials, whether they're here in the United States or in Mexico? How do you work hand in hand with them and ensure that they continue to be pro-business?
Yeah, well, we stay transparent and we provide them updates and reports on some of the projects we're working on in real time. We don't wait till the project's at the very end of its life cycle. We want to include, when it makes sense, the right elected officials and partners early on in the phase, so they understand some of the pain points that's going on, because it's great for us to share inside of what's happening when a project is moving. But when a company executive tells you that they're struggling with a stay versus go decision, and they're thinking about consolidating other operations from Asia or wherever it is, it's good for some of our officials to hear that. So I think what's been key for us is that we stay transparent and we communicate often.
There it is again, the communication piece. I think that's super insightful because a lot of people in general tend to communicate just the positives or the wins with their local elected leadership. And it's not until it's almost too late that those pain points come to light where it's, I really like your strategy of involving them earlier in the process. It's necessary if you want to make those changes and get real buy-in and have that elected leadership understand what we're working on.
Absolutely. So it's top of funnel engagement. And I think going back to enterprise solutions that we offer, and that's really what we're doing is we're offering that option of enterprise solutions. So we have multiple experts at our fingertip, because any economic developer will tell you that you need experts in the room at certain points. And I think having the right people in early on makes a huge difference.
That's awesome. All right, Tony, I'm going to end with one last question, and I'm going to circle back rather than just talking about the Borderplex. I'm going to circle back to you. I would really like to know what it is about economic development that keeps you here. What is it that excites you about this industry, and what makes you stay?
It's a very, very rewarding field to be in. And when you work on a project and you slay through it for several months and sometimes even years, and the fruits of that, the investment that happens and the jobs that are created with what we're doing is very inspiring. And to me, I that's really what gets me going and gets me up every morning. And just recently, we had a very large expansion with the manufacturing company, and I had the chance to drive through their parking lot because I was headed to the store, and I noticed that their parking lot was jam-packed. It was full, their employee parking lot. So to know that I had just some piece of creating jobs for these people so that they can help their families and have a better way of life, take vacations and, you know, purchase the things that they want and save up for the future. There is no other rewarding job than that, if I look at it in that perspective.
That's awesome. Well, Tony, I'm so glad you chose to spend a little bit of your afternoon with me, and I'm so excited for our listening audience to hear all about you. I appreciate you, and congratulations on your award.
Thank you, Faye. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.